we have some younger kids and a volleyball tournament tomorrow morning, so she's leaving after the second breakout and just going home. No guilt. I'd rather her be here for the keynote, the comedy, and a couple of breakout sessions. Let me say up front, before we pray, that the Grow Group ministry, I believe, is one of the most critical ministries that our church is engaged in, period. I also believe it's one of the most off the radar, unless you're in Summit. Summit has been a champion of Grow Groups for years, but we've seen as people get older, like my dad's generation, he would be like, Eric, why would you want to talk to anybody? You know, that's my dad. He passed away 2 years ago at 87 years of age. He was not the guy that was going to tell you what's going on in life. But I also know how that limited him. It limited him as a dad. And it limited his ministry impact. Doesn't mean he was a bad man. He was a great man. He shared the gospel regularly. He was a faithful giver to the church. But I know the treasures in my dad, although I got to experience some of those, most people didn't. And so when we talk about this church has got, you know, thousands of people. No, it's got thousands of treasures in it. And what a loss if we don't get to discover and experience that in each other's lives and then be a catalyst to help bring other people into that same experience. And so the ministry you're experiencing or that you're in is I think, the pinnacle type of ministry here. It's the frontline ministry. I want to look at a couple of images. Let me pray before we do that. Oh, good. It didn't pop up. That's great, because it's a downer. So let me pray over you. I know that God wants to speak in your life. Your ministry matters to Him because it's His ministry through you. It's not your gifts. It's not your talents. Those are His gifts. Those are His talents. And you get the pleasure of either giving those back to Him or missing the joy in life. And that's your choice. And I know you guys have chosen the greater good. What C.S. Lewis, you know, calls, that's us getting back to God, not because He didn't have it, but He deserves it. It's His to begin with. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to You today, and we come with humility, and we come with joy. And God, we know that You are the maker of heaven and earth. You are the maker of our lives. You are the Savior of our souls. You are the giver of all good gifts. And Father, there is nothing on heaven and nothing in earth that can separate us from You and Your love through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father God, I also know that we're here not by chance. I know, God, that You say that You speak to us, that You pour out Your Spirit in full, not in part. And I'm asking You to give a word, speak to each person here, including me. Would we walk out of here with more passion for You, but also, God, with a clear vision of how we can best help make disciples through Grow Groups at our church. We love You and we thank You. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, I want to look at a couple of images from more than 70 years ago. How many of y'all know what this is? Raise your hand. What is it? It's the atomic bomb. And Nolan Gay drops that, right? It's one of the more catastrophic moments in world history. I think it accomplished...
Hey, baby, how are you?
Sorry. I'm in charge of the event tonight, so any crises sort of come to me, and that's why I'm only teaching one session. August 6th, 1945, 8:15 a.m., roughly, that bomb gets dropped. Changes everything. And in the wake of it, destruction and death. Now, I've met with enough people, and you've met with enough people, and I've lived enough years. I'm 52. Some of you are older than me, and some of you are younger than me. But I think if you've lived, if you're in your mid-20s, you probably know this, that sin can devastate your lives, that brokenness can reign supreme if we don't allow God to do something redemptive in us, that the greatest joys in our life come from relationships that are going really, really good, and the things that stink the most in life are when relationships go really, really bad. And we've experienced that. I want to give you another snapshot here. This is Hiroshima 5 years ago. It's a beautiful city today. It doesn't mean the memory of the war is forgotten. It doesn't mean that heartache isn't there for grandparents. It doesn't mean that radioactive poisoning has not happened, but it has been transformed from total destruction to a place of life and light and prosperity. I mean, look at these images, and I'm probably standing right in front of them. You do this. They have new life in Hiroshima today. It's a captivating city, and it's brimming with life where once there was nothing but desolation. So can y'all draw a spiritual analogy and metaphor from that? And what is it? What is that analogy that we can look at? That Christ said what? I have come that you may have life, and you may have it to the full. Did I give you my spirit? Not in part. Completely. You'll have streams of living water flowing out of you where before it was just a desert. It was arid. It was dry. It was barren. And so in my life, God has used small groups of men to do more in my life than any sermon that's ever been preached. I can't verify any prayer that's ever been prayed because my grandmother, my father, my mother, they prayed, and when they, you know, my mom's still alive, but when everyone else has passed away, I grieved at their funeral because of the loss of prayer. I knew my grandmother prayed my little tail end through college. Decisions I made that I shouldn't have made, she was right there praying my way all the way through, and I knew that. Like, this was before email, this was before cell phones. I'd get these letters, these prayer letters from my grandmother, Naomi Cook, and I know prayer matters, but in my life, that I'm aware of, grow groups, small groups, open communication with other men has been the number one tool that God has used to change my life. Solomon says it like this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man, that's sort of the B.A. Baracus, I pity the fool. I pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I don't know about you, but when we read there, we see there's value, there's reward, there's protection, and there's blessing for community, right? Even though it's two, those four things are present in these verses. And think about the men and the women in your life Bible study class. Think about coworkers. Think about family members. Do you know people that need more community, more protection, more blessing? Or everybody's great and their life is overflowing? And if you're like me, man, I can rattle off names. I can look inside underneath the roof of my house. I've got four kids. I pray all the time for my 18-year-old daughter. Not because she doesn't know Jesus, but I know it is hard to walk with Christ. And this world is hard. It's harder now than it was, I guarantee you now, than when I was going off to college, and she's going off to college this fall, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is scary, you know, but you love her more than I love her, and she is your child before she's my child, so you go get her, and you put somebody in her life that will point her to you more. Let me give you another verse here. Because God has given us a charge. If the two are better than one, that's great, but that has nothing to do with our mission, right? This is our mission. Pastor Greg has called it our mission. Every ministry in our church calls it our mission. And here it is. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you." And just in case we think that's daunting and overwhelming, he gives us a nice little promise here, right? And remember, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. That we are called to bring freedom. We are called to bring life. We are called to bring the gospel to every person, period. Doesn't matter their sexual orientation. It doesn't matter their citizenship status. It doesn't matter their socioeconomics. We are called to bring the gospel to everyone. It's the reason our church exists. And the day that we stop trying to fulfill it, we're a club. We're a religious institution. We are not the church that Jesus came to plant and to send. And so we are called to make disciples. You are called to make disciples. Pastor Greg cannot get off the hook from making disciples. And by the way, preaching doesn't make disciples. And Greg will tell you that. He invests his life in people, and he wants us He wants me as a staff member. He wants you as a volunteer leader to do that same thing, that we are not called to make church attenders, nice people, people who don't cuss, men and women who see an advertisement for a kid in hunger and they feel bad. I'm not saying go out and cuss, get drunk, and then be greedy, but that's not what we're called to make. We're called to make disciples. It's the Great Commission. In other words, it's a mission that we co-labor with God. It's a co-mission. We link arms together, and that's what a grow group is. It's linking arms together with other men, if you're men, or other women, if you're a woman. If you're married, you link arms as couples, but even then, we're going to ask for a moment of all the men for accountability and prayer together, and all the women for accountability and prayer together. Because personally, my wife doesn't need to be held accountable by someone else's husband. Not at all. I call that idiocy, stupidity. And so I'm going to go on the record to say that if we do not live this out in our grow groups, it won't get lived out of our church. That's my belief. The single best delivery tool, vehicle, is lives. That's why Jesus commissioned the church to be people and not a building. And the fact that we don't live here, we go out from here. Where we go is where we make the disciples. Does that make sense? So because of what you do, I believe the enemy is going to oppose you. And over the last several years, and just even recently in this past year, we've seen that our church isn't immune. Even the staff isn't immune from living disobediently or defiantly of the gospel. And what I also discover is that, you know, isolation is death. That's the enemy's plan. And it's as easy for staff to get isolated as a new person that walks into your life Bible study, as a lonely person that comes in on a Sunday morning and sits at the back of the worship space. They don't know anybody's name, but in their heart they know they need something different than what they got. And my question to us is, how do we want to reach them? How do we want to love them? How do we want to bring them into community, not just with Jesus, but with us too? And so this idea sort of came alive about 10 years ago when I met a guy named Dan Erickson, and he had this quote. He said, "I do not fear failure. I fear succeeding at something that doesn't matter." And I thought about our ministries at our church. And I thought about grow groups underneath my umbrella. And I thought about, well, okay, so how many people do we have in grow groups? And I can say, well, we got thousands of people in grow groups. Is God happy with that? I'm like, well, are we making disciples? And I think, you know what? I don't really think we are really well doing that. Some groups do a great job and other groups not so much. But that sits on my heart because God, I'm not trying to check a box. Pastor Greg's not trying to check a box. I hope you're not trying to check a box. Do we have group groups in our life Bible study? Check this, yes or no. Yes, then you're good. No, then I want to know what is happening in the lives of the men and the women in our life Bible study. How are we stewarding their lives? And hey, by the way, we're the benefits. We benefit this. I'm in a grow group. If that grow group goes well, my marriage is light years better. I'm a better husband. I'm a better dad. I'm a better pastor. And if I'm in a group that's not functional, and I've been in one of those, and I was part of it, and we had to euthanize the group. It was just terrible. You know, we were uncommitted. We didn't go very deep. It was just like, I was like, I can't believe I'm in a group, and my group is the group that I talk about I don't want you to have. I mean, it was very humbling to be in that group, and I couldn't, like, pull the plane up and get it to fly. And so we just agreed to walk on. Doesn't mean I hate the guys. I love them. But sometimes the groups need to go away, and let's reconvene with a new group of people. So our goal here, our win, would be lives being changed and being discipled. And so I want to give you, over the last 13 years, we've been looking at groups a lot. And in the last 2 years, NAF Press and Barna Research did a 20-year study on life change. And as I read through their study over the last year and talked to some different churches that I think are doing a better job than we do at grow groups, I came to the realization that maybe we should change some of how we train and some of what we try to do in our grow groups. So for the very first time in the last probably 5 or 10 years, what I'm getting ready to present to you is different. It's experimental. It's okay. We may be blowing this up in 3 months because it was the stupidest, dumbest thing ever. But if you would just bear with me, I'm going to go fast. Reserve your judgment to the end. And I'm just going to ask you this. If you would trust one pastor's heart, I'm not a flippant guy. I don't do things recklessly and carelessly, although my wife says I drive that way. But that's not how I'm a very idealistic person, and I pray a lot and work really, really hard, and it matters to me. I never wanted to be a pastor at a church. God wanted me to be a pastor at a church. So at 39, I became a pastor at a church, and everyone, all my friends said, you're a sellout, because I was the guy in college that walked away from the church because of all the hypocrisy and all the sin. And so over this last year, I've been in counseling because of the story that hit the news a few months ago, because it just ate me alive. It punched every stinking button that I had. It punched it up. But you know what? God is bigger than that. God is greater than that. Amen. God is good. Amen. And even though we may not be faithful to Him, He is faithful to us. And so I'm asking you to trust me, and let's just take a step out and take an experiment. And some of this will be the same, and some of this will be different. But here we go. I want to tell you what a grow group is not. It's not a support group. Doesn't mean it doesn't support you. It's not a support group. It is not a Christian book club. Oprah's got a book club. That's great. Jesus did not die for book clubs to emerge across the planet. He didn't do that. It is not a social club, although you will enjoy, I pray, the people that you gather with. And this is a shocking statement to make. It is not another Bible study. Over the last 10, 13 years or some odd, most of our grow groups become very quickly a book club or another Bible study. We're going to look at a verse in a little bit, so I'm not even going to talk about it right now. Here's what a grow group is. It is a group of men or women who come together regularly in a gospel-centered environment to pursue life transformation through a balance of connection, intentional conversations, prayer, accountability, and outreach. Study is not up here. Book club is not up here. We used to have a sheet of 200 recommended book studies, right? How many of y'all have been through that? You've seen the pink sheets? Nick, you think it's crazy, right? Throw them away. Throw them away. We may give them back in 3 months, but right now, you can throw them away. Think about the world we live in. It is not content-driven. It's a way of relating to the other people. It's biblical, it's balanced, and it will be a blessing to everybody involved. I want you to think about the world we live in. How hard is it for us to find biblical content that's pretty good? How hard? I could listen to a brand new John Piper sermon every day for the next 10 years and never repeat myself. At the heels of that, I could go and get a Matt Chandler sermon and listen to a Matt Chandler sermon every single day for the next 3 years. After that, I could really bow it up and get a Tim Keller sermon for every day for the next 5 years. And then after that, I can come back and catch up on Pastor Greg's sermons, and I can listen to great content, some of the best men, teachers, and women. I can Beth Moore, and I can do the same thing with Beth Moore. There is an app for content. But let me ask you this. Where is the app for meaningful engagement with the Word of God and living it out? How do you download that? How do you watch a YouTube video and have someone ask you a very purposeful question about how that looks in your marriage? How you live that out at work? And where does that happen? And I'll just argue this. If we don't do it, it ain't going to happen. And if we don't do it, I think we're being disobedient to the Great Commission. That's why I say I believe the Grow Group, when done well, is the single most important ministry of what we're going to be engaged in. Because we will grow into the fullness of who God has made us as men and women, and the overflow of that will be evangelism, the overflow of that will be missions, the overflow of that will be discovering gifts and using those gifts around the world. But if all we get is study after study, after study, after study, after study, after study. And we do that for 50 years, and we look in the mirror, we'll look at the same person, except our heart will just be a little bit more calloused to the good news of Jesus. And so let me give you some verses to back this up. In the book of James chapter 1, it says, but be what? Doers! And not what? Hearers only. He could have said, be doers and not studiers. He could have said, doers and not sermon listeners. But he said, doers and not hearers only. Anyone that hears the word and doesn't do it is like a man that looks at his own face in a mirror and he forgets what he looks like. In other words, oh, I've got chives in between my teeth. I turn around, I get my get my shirt on, I walk out, go to work, and say, hey, you got chives in your teeth. I read the word of God and it reveals I'm a selfish man. I turn back around, I live selfishly. I don't change a thing because I forgot I'm a selfish man. A grow group would help me to know and to do the word of God. And we don't want to be forgetful hearers, but we want to do good works. And by the way, the promise of this is really pretty rock solid, pretty awesome. I meet a lot of people that say they pray for blessing. God, I want your blessing. I'm like, you know what? Do his word. He promises his blessing. I have cancer and I was doing his word. You know what? I don't know why. But that cancer is a blessing from God. I can't tell you why right now. I don't expect you to feel it right now. But in the end, it's going to be a blessing and you will not even know it. I went through a broken engagement, guts just laid out, 2.5 year engagement. I was like, it was horrible. I would not have been available to meet and to marry my wife for the last 23 years that I've had 4 children with, that I wouldn't be in ministry if she wasn't in my life, if I hadn't gone through that. At the time, if you would have said, is that a blessing? I would have said, heck no, that's not a blessing. It's the worst day of my life. Looking back, man, it's one of the best days of my life. Did I cry on that day? Oh, man, it was horrible. Not just one day, a multiple of days. Today, man, I thank the Lord that he blew up that engagement. And so I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what people in your class are going through. But in a grow group is when you can actually share that depth and discover and believe for one another and have faith for one another as you journey through the ups and the downs of life, both financially, relationally, physically, and spiritually and emotionally. So why is God revealing this to us, and what's our role? Hebrews 10, 20, and there's like 20 verses I could give you. This is just one. And let us, plural, you, me, us, be concerned about one another in order to do what? Promote love. And promote what? Good works. In other words, to promote doing what Jesus has told us to do. Not staying away from worship gatherings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I can only imagine if the author of Hebrews was talking about seeing the day of the Lord drawing near, because there was persecution and there was calamity, natural disasters. We're closer than they are. So we should be, our grow group should be a bastion of encouragement. They should overwhelm us with encouragement. They really, really should. So let me tell you about the culture that we need to create. It needs to be gospel-centered. The law does not produce life change. It produces really prideful, judgmental people, and it also produces hypocrites. It does not produce life change. The gospel produces life change, and if I can sum the gospel up in what Jesus said to the rich young ruler, what is impossible for man is possible with God. I can't, Jesus can. That's the gospel. I can't high jump the law. I can't high jump my flawed thought life. I'm not perfect. Jesus can do it all. Cast all my cares upon him. He cares for me. He is the one that adopted me and made me a son of the Most High. So self-righteousness is no righteousness at all in the eyes of God. And the law just gives us self-righteousness. Number two, committed. We are called by the two great commandments to do this interesting thing. We are to love God, and we are to do what? love each other. And now Jesus, sort of by throwing the great commandment and the great commission, that each other is not just Christians, though. It becomes the world, too. That's the refugee. That's the enemies. You know, that's whoever perpetrated 9/11. That we're actually called to love them. We're called to pray for them. Does that mean I don't think justice should happen? Well, that's another conversation for another day. But I do know this. The measure of a man is his capacity to give and receive love, not his knowledge, not his bank account, not his title, not his postcode or his address. As Mark Twain said, and then Ben Franklin quoted, and then Pastor William Sloan Coffin said, the smallest package in the world is a man wrapped up in himself. Love is the measure of a man or a woman. And because of that, we can say Jesus was a giant among little ants and little gnats. He was a giant because of his capacity to love. Number three, confidentiality. For our grow group to function, it needs to be gospel-centered. It needs to be committed. It needs confidentiality, but I put an asterisk there. We're post 9/11, we're post Columbine, we're post Nevada shootings, we're post, you know, you name it. We've seen enough. If somebody is speaking threats, it's okay to call 911. If somebody's speaking suicidally, it's okay to call your pastor. It's okay to call 911. It's okay. Well, I don't know if they're serious or not. You know what? It's time that person grows up then. Call 911. We do not need to guess. We don't. There's been enough bloodshed. There's been enough hurt. There's been enough brokenness in our world today. So be confidential. But for those two things, let me know, let Pastor Greg know, let Don Mutton know, whatever your age group minister is, let them know. And then number four, in our community, the way it should look is it should progressively become more transparent. I call it dump trucking. Don't do it. It's sort of like a support group. You very first day, you tell all your deep, dark secrets. It was my first experience in dating. I remember, like, what are we going to talk about? I was like, well, I'll just pull the dump truck up and let it all out. It was, like, completely awful. It's like a Pizza Hut and Eric's emotional vomit. It was like, never got the girl never called me back. It's like, wouldn't answer the phone. It's like, that guy is sick. Okay, so small groups get blown up by dump trucking. As the leader, though, you need to set the tone. Be open and honest. I just call it your gospel story. It should be a safe place for everybody to share their gospel story. How they came to know Jesus, what their life looked like before, what God's been doing in their life since. That should be a great goal. The first month of your grow group is everybody should know each other's gospel stories. You can do that in a restaurant over a couple of weeks. You can do that in a house in a night. Take your time. Stories matter. I love that about our church, our baptism stories. They matter. So does that make sense? So that's the culture. That's the, what do we want it to feel like in your group? It's hospitable. It's safe. It's confidential. It's a place you can be open and honest. Now let me tell you what functions are going to happen inside that space. So that's the culture. This is sort of the elements or the tools. Number one is life-on-life connection. We've already talked about most of us get isolated, and grow groups should be that place where we connect. You may be connecting through intramurals. You may be connecting through dinners. You may be connecting through a mission trip, service projects, or all of that, but you want to connect with one another. I have some resources at the end that I'll tell you about, and if you signed up on the sheets, I'll email all that out in a PDF on Monday or Tuesday, probably Wednesday. I'll probably skip Monday. I'll be very tired. Second area, intentional discussions. You have in your possession a green sheet, and there's no used cars in this, by the way. This is a different green sheet. This is, it says intentional conversation guide. This is not to be a script. It's just some suggested questions that can help you get to more important conversation topics. My favorite question is, what has God shown you this week? And then the follow-up question is, what are you doing with it? So I don't need someone to lecture me after Pastor Greg's just given me a sermon. I'd rather say, okay, what's one thing that you heard in Pastor Greg's sermon that you can apply this week? What's one thing? What's the biggest barrier from keeping you to live that out? How can we pray for you this week so that you can live that out? And I guess what I'm going to ask you next week when we get together, or maybe on Monday morning, I'll text you. Hey, how's that going? I know your boss has been a jerk over the last 6 months, but how's it going just praying for your boss every day? How's that going? What are you praying for him? Not that he dies, right? You're praying good things, right? Let's care enough to get involved. Does that make sense? This intentional discussions. And we really think there's only three sources for these private conversations. Pastor Greg's sermon, your life Bible study lesson, or your personal quiet time. Now, you may all agree to line up your quiet times on a book of the Bible, and that's okay, but when you get together, it's not discussing the book of the Bible, it's discussing what truth did Jesus convict you with this week? What example in the Scripture did God show you that you could be more like this week? And then let's try to live that out. Does that make sense? I'm not wanting it to be a Bible study or a book study. We're getting enough of that. I'm assuming that we're adults and we can read the Bible on our own. But if we can't, this fall we have a discipleship pathway that will teach you how to have a quiet time, how to pray, how to share the gospel. It's called Discipleship Essentials. It'll be on Wednesday nights. It's lay-led. We'll have capacity for about 200 men and women to do it. It's wonderful. It's time-tested. It's biblical. It involves some scripture memory. And if you had a grow group and no one in there really knew how to have a quiet time, the best thing you could tell them, hey, y'all go do DE in the fall together. Do it in the fall together. And then in the spring, you guys can start a grow group where you can actually share your quiet time because you're actually having one and you know how to read God's Word finally. Someone showed you how. I'm taking way too much time. Number three, bold prayer. Great quote. Prayerlessness is what? Powerlessness. Prayerlessness is powerlessness. If you're not praying, do not expect power. It is the front line of the spiritual battle in the world today is prayer. Not missions, not giving, not preaching, it's prayer. It's also your first line of defense against the enemy, is prayer. So don't be mad if you're stuck in a sin, but your prayer life is nowhere. I like what Tim Keller tweeted about 3 months ago. He said, I find it funny that the people that complain about not hearing from God are never in His Word and they're never in prayer. Get in His Word and get in prayer and God will begin to speak. And pray God-sized prayers that only He can do. If someone needs healing, let's pray for healing. If someone's lost, let's pray for salvation. If someone has a health emergency, whatever, let's pray prayers that only God can answer. Not because we're trying to brag about it. Let God be God. Man, what if He answered our prayer, but our prayer was so safe that a 3-year-old could have done it? Are we afraid that God can't carry the water? Are we embarrassed for God? Well, if He doesn't heal him, then I'll look like an idiot, and so does he. No. But God, we're going to put our heart before you. We're going to risk in prayer for you. Why? Because you invite us to do that. Yeah. You invite us to do that. You change us in that. Our faith grows even if, I love it, what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if we perish here, we're not going to worship you. We're going to worship Him because He's worthy. He's worthy. Our grow group should celebrate that. Lean into that. Accountability. I'm not talking about legalism. But you may find a yellow sheet on your thing, a resource here. In here, I'm not going to go through this, but there are lots and lots of some great questions that you could personally choose. In some of the grow groups that have been very effective for me, we have used this sheet and we have personally chosen 3 or 4 questions. There's about 120 that we personally needed. And that's what we were held accountable for. I do not need to be held accountable for crack cocaine. It's never been a temptation for me. I do need to be held accountable for pornography. That has been a temptation for me. So let's own our own personal narrative of what we need help in, and let's get help from the people around us in a gospel-centered, committed, confidential, and transparent community called a Grow Group. And then number five, outreach and service. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And as I said earlier, the measure of a man is right here. The more we love, the bigger we are. There is no smaller package in all the world than that of a man all wrapped up in himself. So let me give you three areas that we can serve and outreach in as a Grow Group together. Number one, missional hangouts. I'll talk a little bit more about this, but this is where your group, everybody in the group, would choose one person in their life that does not know Christ that they would begin to pray for, that the whole group would pray for, that they would come to salvation. And at least once a quarter, your Grow Group would be creating events where you could bring the coworker with you. It doesn't have to be a spiritual event. It's a relationship opportunity to intersect with people that don't see things the way we see things. It could be, truly, and I mean this, it could be going to a concert together, but bringing along friends that don't know the Lord. But your group together targets, prays, loves, serves, and creates missional hangouts. Most people today will not come to church if you invite them. But they'll come to your house. They'll meet you at a restaurant. They'll go to a movie. And after hanging out and realizing that we're not freaks, we're not inbred, we're not hate-filled, we're not idiots, they may even consider listening to the fact that, hey, we also hang out at a place called church. Would you like to come with us? And because they know us and like us, they may come for the very first time. We are the bridge of the gospel, you and me, not Pastor Greg. He's not the bridge. You and I are the bridge for the people that are in our life. And if we don't accept the responsibility of that, shame on us. Not shame on Pastor Greg. He's going to preach his guts out every week. He does a great job of that. The outreach of our church needs to be you and me building the bridges. And I believe our Grow Groups will be the best tool to reach the lost. Because when you have a good friendship that's loving and caring, and someone else begins to get a glimpse of that, they're going to want some of that too. Does that make sense? Mission projects, you guys already know what these are, like Houston 1-8, Men Serve, Car Care Ministry, doing those things together, and then mission trips. I'm a big fan of this. I don't go on a lot because I don't have the money to do that, but that's my prayer life. I'm changing my prayer life. I'm saying, God, show me where you want me to go, and then I'm going to sign up, and you're going to provide. You're going to figure it out. I'm going to step out in faith. So all that stuff, is that overwhelming, hearing all that? Does it seem a lot or not? Oh, you guys totally blow it up. Okay, well, here's the deal. I'm stealing this from a church in North Carolina called the Summit Church. J.D. Greer, his church, they use a thing called rhythms. It's all around creation. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Morning, day, afternoon, evening, night. Like, we're surrounded with rhythms, and it gives us rest, and it gives us joy, and it gives us a time of productivity. And it gives us a time to celebrate. It gives us all of those things and more. And for some reason, I never allowed that to be part of our Grow Group. So I was like, every time we meet, we need to be praying. We need to be confessing. We need to be accountable. We need to study. We need to share the gospel. We need to, you don't have that many hours in a week. So I broke the year down into quarters, and there's 13 weeks per quarter. And now my math isn't very good, and if I'm wrong, don't correct me yet, but later on come up. The idea would be, these four rhythms would happen over the course of every quarter, and you could take a calendar as a Grow Group and you can mark your dates ahead of time. Family nights. I'll tell you what those are in a minute, but one or two of those every quarter. Discipleship nights. Nine of those a quarter. In other words, if you're saying what's important, prayer, accountability, and stuff like that, we better be doing that. Number three, missional hangouts. We just talked about it, once or twice a quarter. And then a mission project, once a quarter. Like, go to a Men Serve together. You don't meet for your group. You don't. Yeah, you pray for each other. You're not. It's not an additional meeting. It is your meeting. Does that make sense? We're busy. Houston's huge. Traffic's bad. We need to economize our discipleship so that we don't kill ourselves on I-10 or 290 or wherever you live. God bless America. All right, for the vehicles, of course. Ford. Thank him. Okay, family nights twice a quarter or once a quarter. The idea is dinners, games, parks, class events, church-wide events. whatever floats your boat, you know, probably shots of tequila on the beach is probably not one of those things. But within the bounds of sanity, let's have morally upright fun, right? Morally upright fun, great stuff. The point of it is to get to know each other and to laugh together. If you don't laugh together, you probably won't pray together. You won't serve together. You really do need to enjoy who you're with in your grow group. So spend some time doing that. Discipleship nights, three times a month. They're focused on intentional conversations. I showed you that sheet. Prayer and accountability around living out God's truth in your life. And we said the three sources for those nights. Pastor Greg's message, or a life Bible study message, or your quiet time from the week. Your group could say, we're going to go and read the book of Philippians. Let's read chapter 1 this week. Okay, well, when you come together, don't hash chapter 1, but if verse 7 stood out to you in chapter 1, share that. Talk about that. Let's figure that out. Why did that stand out? What are you going to do with that? And you may discover that God begins to speak more to you as you tune your ear into Him. Sometimes I'm afraid of missing all the facts. I don't think God cares a whole lot about me getting every fact. I think He cares about my heart being conformed to His image and His likeness. Some of those facts will matter, but some of them, like, what's the Greek word for that? I just need to live out what He's already shown me. So openness, prayer, accountability. Our suggestion is three times a month. Missional hangouts, we talked about once or twice a quarter. Intentionally creating an outreach event for non-Christian friends or family members. You're praying for these people already as a group, and now you're creating things that they would enjoy doing. So it could be going to the rodeo one evening. It could be running a marathon together. It could, who knows what it is, but be creative, be prayerful. And then lastly, mission projects, and that's super simple. I'm not going to labor that. For your discipleship nights, here's a one-hour model. Most of us will do it longer for an hour, okay? Just realistically, I'm just throwing this up. Connect for 5 or 10 minutes. Just people come. They're not all going to get there at the same time. Catch up. How's the week going? Small talk. Great. What did Trump say? Oh, really? Yeah. Intentional conversations. Use your talk sheet. Come ready. Come ready with fresh manna from God. Come ready with a word from God. What has He shown you? Accountability. Follow up with what you guys agreed to the previous week. Check in. I would say check in daily. I've got guys in my life that I call them. Steve Bizrins is a guy. I think every day this last couple of weeks, he's prayed over me and I've prayed over him on the phone. He's 60 years old. I'm 52 years old. We've cried on the phone in prayer over each other. Why? Not because we're lost. It's because we're found. I'm a better man because of Steve, and I think he's a better man because of me. I think our classes would be better classes if we had more relationships like that, not less. Prayer, take prayer requests and pray for one another, and try to relegate it to meaningful ones to you. And yes, Aunt Sally matters, but if your prayer requests are always periphery of your heart and your soul, I want to challenge you to go a little bit deeper. Look in your relationships. Look at what you're not doing. Look at why you repeat the same thing over and over and over. Repetitive sin doesn't mean that, well, I'm just going to fix that sin. Repetitive sin means you're getting something from that you should be getting from God or someone else, period. So for me, pornography was an insecurity issue and an anger issue. And it wasn't until I let God identify that in my heart that I could begin to walk out of that with other men speaking encouragement into my life, saying, hey man, you got more going for you than that. That's not going to make you a godly husband. That's not going to make you a godly man. It's the opposite direction of what you just told us you want to do in life. So a good exercise for a grow group is, in 5 or 10 years, what do you want your legacy to look like? And write it down. And then when you're engaging in behavior, ask yourself, how is this advancing my life to that end? And if it's not, even if it's religious, it's okay to mark it out. Even if it's religious, it's okay to mark it out. And then close, just where are you going to meet next? Next might be a missional hangout. Next might be a service project. Next might be, hey, registration for the mission trip opens up, you know, in 2 weeks. Don't forget, we got to sign up for that. Okay, resources, I've got those there on your pack. your commitment. We call this Grow Group Commitments. It's a summary of everything I sort of told you on the front. And then on the back is an FAQ that answers a lot of questions. If you're married, well, how do we do this with children? Some basic accountability questions you could consider asking if you don't want to read the yellow sheet. All right. Skip that. Okay. You should have received a text maybe within the next minute. Let me ask this. Any questions? And was this, did this make sense? My wife says, when you say that, it seems so insecure. I'm like, well, I am, baby. You married me. You know that. Trying not to be, but I am. So any questions on anything? You're like, hey, you said this. What does that really mean? Or unpack this a little bit more. We got a couple of minutes. And I don't mind you filling out the survey while I'm doing this at all. It won't offend me at all. I mean, we multitask all the time, and I'm okay being ignored. So, all right.
There's paper surveys for anybody who doesn't.
Yeah, if you don't trust us and you think we're logging your cell phone number and your IP address, which we are, by the way, feel free to use the pen and paper. My assistant thanks you because she has to type those in.
Eric, I have a question. What are the requirements for someone to be in a grow group?
Yeah. I will say this, if a grow group is gospel-centered, I would think to truly have an equal partnership, a heart-to-heart connection where it's a safe place, I believe Christianity is probably a prerequisite to that, a believer. I also believe that what we're not trying to do is to create a competing, let me do this. That should be targets, but don't worry about it. This doesn't look right. Okay, I'm going to do this. It's an eyeball staring at you or something. Okay. Most churches have two circles. They have a worship experience, and then they'll have a thing called either Sunday school or a home group. Right? Anybody can come into here, and anybody can come into here. A grow group is a closed group, and it's a third circle. And what we're trying to do is to economize your relationships and to give you the greatest possible depth. So instead of running out and getting another connection over here, so I would just say your group involved in your life Bible study regularly, and from that a believer involved in your life Bible study can be in a grow group. Period. That's it. I would look at geography. I think it matters, and it doesn't have to be where you live. It could be where you work. So you might live, I live in the Woodlands, and they live in the Heights, and they're in Katy, but we all work around Beltway 8 and I-10. We could be in a grow group, and we can meet at lunch, or we can meet for breakfast before work, or we can meet after work, and that's great. And so does that answer it?
Yes.
Helpful? Okay, other questions? Yes?
I heard you mention, we try to stay positive in our conversations, and it sometimes is hard, because people just want to, vent and just say whatever they're feeling. So any thoughts?
So the word I used was encouragement. And maybe what I meant by that was encouraging one another that God is bigger than that. That we'll be with you. We're going to pray with you through this. What I don't mean is you can't bring your baggage in and lay it on the table. That's okay to do that.
Okay.
It is okay to cry. It is okay to be angry. And I'm not endorsing profanity, but I think depending on people where they are, sometimes profanity helps them express something, and I'm not advocating, I'm just telling you, I think there are times that I think sometimes people can communicate that, and I don't want to judge them off that. I'm like, get it out. I'd rather you get it out than perform for me. Just get it out, and let's begin to see where your heart is. And then my job at that point is, just as a friend, is to say, where is God in all this? What are you doing with, how are you bringing this to God? What are you asking God to do? What do you want God to do? What's your biggest fear right now? I hear a lot of fears from men. I meet with a lot of men. There's a lot of fear in men, especially my age men. There is. Okay. Something. Does that help?
Yeah. What about the different levels of commitment? There's people that are willing to go all in, and there are others that are just there I'm just going to stay superficial, and I'm not going to ever.
Right. So we call it progressive transparency for this reason. We are all on our journeys, hopefully, are Godward, to take a John Piper sort of quote, Godward. But we're all somewhere different in that journey, and we have different backgrounds. And some of us are extroverts and verbally vomit, i.e. me. And if you met my wife, you would say, hey, does she speak a lot? Well, she listens a lot, and at home she speaks a lot. In a small group, I'm going to lay it out there, and my wife probably is going to not lay it out real fast. It's okay. It's safe. As the leader of the group, if someone 3 months in still hasn't shared much, I would get a one-on-one with them. And I would explore what's going on in their heart and their life. Let them know you love them. Let them know you care. And let them know that, hey, even though you're not feeling like you can share that in the whole group, I'd love to hear what's going on in your life. And I think if they can trust one person, then eventually they'll trust two, and then three, and now we're having a party. You know, now it's a group. It's a grow group. Okay, another question? All right, you guys are awesome. Everybody fill out your survey? Everybody give me really high marks? No, I'm just kidding. I don't get paid for this, so it's all good. Well, cool. Visit around your tables. I can't believe I got through all that. I was worried. Rewrote that whole thing. I was trying to chop it all out. Chris, do you note some of the changes? Is this?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic, and I thought you did a really good job. Yeah. Okay.
By the way, he's my cousin, and I sent him $50 on Venmo. So that's awesome. We've wrestled with this a lot. We've wrestled with this a lot. Come on. On to go. I flew this guy in to go, Eric.
There. We're on the party.
Let me pray over y'all. Thank y'all for being here. We'll draw the Apple Watch. We'll basically draw that probably Tuesday morning, announce that Tuesday or Wednesday. Do pray for our staff. Pray for our church. The enemy, through the sins of individuals, has wanted to wound and break trust. I think we're all hurt at different levels. When Pastor Greg went on sabbatical, if you were at the 11 o'clock service, I remember I've never seen him more transparent, but the week before he went on sabbatical, he said, if you would just pray for God to restore my soul. I don't know if y'all were, any of y'all there at the 11?
Yes.
We did that? Now I know, now I connect all that together. And so I just want to love on him and just to say, Lord, restore the joy of his salvation. Not because I know any deep, dark secret, but just he got kicked in the gut there as much as any of us did, more so. And love him, love his heart for Jesus, and love his heart for our church and our city. And so let's just pray right now. I'm going to pray for him. Father God, you are a good, good Father. And Lord, we could say that, and we could make that a praise chorus and all of it. But God, if we're not trusting you as a good, good Father, then it doesn't matter what we say. We want to trust you. And God, I'm trusting Pastor Greg to you. I'm trusting your redemption of the situation our church has traveled through this year. I'm trusting, God, the restoration that you can work even in Gerald's heart and life. God, you are bigger than anything, and there is nothing on earth that can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus in us when we repent. So Lord, I am praying for renewal. I am praying for revival. I am asking for grow groups to make disciples. I am praying for the fullness of joy to be manifested in the men and the women here. And it would be contagious to the second and the third and the fourth generation. That we would be seen faithful in the season that you've placed us here in Houston, Texas in 2019. And God, that we would not waver. We would not back down. We would not quit praying or worshiping or telling people about you. We love you. We need you. You are life itself. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for being here. 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 Here.